Welcome to the CMR Podcast, a podcast by the Center for Migration Law.
Welcome to our podcast. Today, we explore the factors that drive migration in its broadest sense, a phenomenon that transcends time and remains a pressing issue. In this episode, we will delve into migration law, which determines who can access a country's territory, the rights of migrants, integration processes, and issues surrounding equal treatment and citizenship. Migration law and policymaking occur at various levels: international, European, regional, national, and sometimes even local. Our research aims to contribute to science-based policymaking from this multi-level, holistic perspective. For over three decades, researchers at the Dutch Center for Migration Law of the Radboud University in Nijmegen have been investigating migration law from an interdisciplinary angle. In this podcast, we provide behind-the-scenes insights into our research projects and the active role researchers play in shaping policy. One of our current projects is the Horizon Europe-funded study on global strategy for skills migration and development, or in short, GS4S. In this project, 14 partners from 10 countries seek to better understand global skills shortages in the digital, care, and construction sectors, fostering skills development through innovative analyses. The project proposes multi-level, evidence-based policies on labor migration, governance, and alternative strategies to address these shortages in six regions: the EU, EEA, Western Balkans, Middle East and Northern Africa, West Africa, and South Southeast Asia. In a sub-series of six podcasts, we will present some of the results of the project. More information on the project can be found in the show notes. Welcome to the Center for Migration Law podcast and our second episode of 2026. My name is Aisha Sekhahelmat. I'm a professor of comparative management and the chair of the Strategy and International Business section at the University of Radboud. Within GS4S, I lead research that explores how businesses in Europe deal with skills shortages. Today, we will delve into insights from GS4S business survey conducted in 2025 on a sample of roughly 4,000 multinational enterprises and small and medium-sized enterprises in the Netherlands, Estonia, Germany, and Switzerland, spanning the sectors of care, information and communication, and manufacturing construction. It's my pleasure to welcome colleagues from the University of Geneva, Dr. Mariana Alvarado-Chavez and Dr. Sandra Levenex, both GS4S members who took part in designing and analyzing survey results. Sandra is a professor of EU and international politics at the University of Geneva with a long-standing interest in new forms of business mobility, that is, schemes that facilitate the cross-border mobility of professionals working in international businesses. Mariana is a senior researcher at GU University of Geneva's Department of Political Science and International Relations, and she's been studying business mobility with Sandra for a few years now. Your research has until now focused on multinational corporations in Switzerland, trying to understand why and how they use trade-related migration schemes to access workers from abroad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
It's great to be here.
So before we focus on key findings, let's introduce the survey and its context. Our interest in the business perspectives was triggered by a significant role the multinationals and SMEs have in building workforce capability through upskilling, reskilling, integration, mobility. Due to their global value chain activities and the way in which they share practices across borders, multinationals are seen as key players in transferring knowledge and helping local SMEs develop their capabilities. Despite their resourcefulness, businesses continue to face challenges in attracting, developing, and retaining critical talent. Multinationals in particular are known for their strong talent management systems compared to local firms and SMEs. This is what led us to examine how these practices could provide valuable lessons for other organizations that may not have the same resources or networks as multinationals.
This was in particular important in the light of creative solutions that multinationals and SMEs generated with the support of digital platforms. So, Sandra and Mariana, could you explain a bit more about the survey itself?
Of course. In our prior joint work with Sandra, we had, as you mentioned, focused on the behavior of multinational corporations in Switzerland. So the GS4S survey gave us the opportunity to expand upon this work and examine how relevant these strategies are in other European countries and also among other types of firms. So the questionnaire focused on several themes, including the severity of skill shortages faced by these companies, how they addressed skill shortages, the reasons for the chosen strategies, and the extent to which skill-filling goals were achieved through the chosen strategies. And so aside from the migration-related strategies that Sandra and I study, the survey also asked about companies' use of other strategies to fill skill shortages, including, for example, offshoring and outsourcing operations abroad, upskilling or reskilling existing employees and local residents, or adopting labor-saving technologies such as AI and automation. However, our team at the University of Geneva was particularly interested in strategies to fill shortages via labor migration and in the use of what we call business mobility schemes.
Yes, perhaps I should explain a little bit what we mean by business mobility schemes. So business mobility schemes are regulations that allow businesses in one country to access labor migrants without formally employing them in the local labor market. In the EU, we know this form of labor mobility as posted workers. These persons are deployed for a specified period in one country to realize a certain job, but their work contract remains in the country of origin. This type of mobility also exists internationally beyond the EU and is referred to as contractual service providers. It is interesting to note that under international law, such workers can stay up to 1 year and sometimes longer in the country where they work. However, they retain formal employment and social insurances at home. While these contractual service suppliers can be accessed by small and large firms, multinational companies have another possibility of business mobility, which are the intra-corporate transferees. Intra-corporate transferees are employees of a multinational enterprise who move from one branch to another branch of the same company in another country while retaining their work contract at home. Compared to contractual service suppliers, intra-corporate transferees are more long-term temporary migrants because under EU and national laws, they can work and live up to 5 years in another country without formally entering its labor market. That is, they retain their work contract and social insurances at home. Existing studies show that these dispatched workers can make a considerable part of a country's labor migrant population. In our work for the GS4S project, we have shown that in Switzerland, contractual service suppliers and intra-corporate transferees make up for between 30 and 40% of the third country nationals who are admitted on a yearly basis under the country's immigration quota. Studies from the UK show a similar picture for temporary workers. In addition, there are also other innovative types of work like digital nomads, which are not well understood. We also cover those in our survey. In comparison with the business migrants who migrate physically to work in another country while remaining legally employed in their home country, digital nomads work in another country remotely while living anywhere. Here, the interplay between place of work, place of legal employment, and place of stay is even more complicated. What these types of international migration have in common is that they are triggered by the firms and not by the migrants themselves. In the case of intra-corporate transferees, it is the multinational company who decides to transfer a worker from one place to a subsidiary or to the headquarters in another country. In the case of contractual service suppliers, it is the multinational enterprise or the small and medium-sized enterprise which strikes a contract with another firm to import a certain work. And in the case of digital nomads, it is a firm which concludes a work contract with a person staying abroad. This survey in the GS4S project was thus a key opportunity to learn more about firms' motivations to engage with such forms of business mobility, whether firms see these forms of business mobility as a means to address labor shortages in particular.
Thank you very much. In line with what you observed in Switzerland, we can say the survey does indeed indicate overall around 32% of multinationals across the four countries resorted to short-term contracts, and 27% seem to have leveraged intra-corporate transfers from within the EU for skill shortages. Sandra, Mariana, you focused largely on this extent to which companies address skill shortages by hiring workers from abroad using non-traditional contracts. What were your main findings?
So in our study, we focus on survey answers from companies in Switzerland, Germany, and the Netherlands. These are three countries with highly internationally integrated economies. And we find, for starters, that 70% of companies who report having skill shortages also report hiring workers from abroad, meaning that a vast majority of both multinational corporations and small and medium enterprises use different forms of migration as a way of solving their skill shortages. Now, when it comes specifically to the non-traditional types of mobility that we are interested in, we find that both multinational enterprises and small and medium enterprises use them to fill shortages. And the more severe the shortages are, the more likely it is that they hire from outside as opposed from within the EU. And while it is true that these strategies are more common among MNEs, among multinational enterprises, even among small and medium-sized enterprises, we find that they are almost as common as hiring using traditional short-term contracts. So around 15% of SMEs report frequently or always hiring workers from abroad as posted workers, contractual service suppliers, and digital nomads, while for multinational corporations, this number is much higher, closer to 30%. We also find that firms facing high regulatory constraints when it comes to filling skill shortages, such as country quotas, for example, are more likely to hire such workers. And finally, that these hiring channels are especially attractive for companies who seek to reduce costs in their efforts to fill skill shortages, particularly when it comes to hiring third country nationals.
That finding, the use of the posted workers, contractual service suppliers, and digital nomads is almost as common among SMEs and as traditional short-term contracts is really intriguing. On a similar tangent, our team in the Netherlands focused on the complementarities between M&E capabilities and institutional contexts to reveal successful responses. So we used a qualitative comparative analysis to identify dominant response patterns, and one was automation-led, and the other we noticed was migrant-led. And for example, there was a strong reliance we noticed on borderless hiring, particularly among multinationals with no experience of skill shortages. These were often combined with hiring from within or outside the EU and the EFTA. This particular method really allowed us to unpack interactions between prior experience with skill shortages and strong migrant integration policies. I would say our key takeaway is that addressing skill shortages isn't just about choosing one solution. It's about combining capabilities and hiring strategies as well as policy conditions and ways that reinforce each other. So we're now currently working on translating these findings into insights and recommendations for public policy. And one key implication is the need for regulatory frameworks that enable digital labor mobility while safeguarding taxation, social security, and labor rights across borders. Another is that restrictive qualification recognition, visa, and sponsorship rules intensify for firm dependence on digital and intermediary solutions. So here, Sandra and Mariana, I'd like to ask, what do you think are the main takeaways from this research for policymaking for you?
Yes, we fully concur with your observations that these new forms of transnational mobility and the business migrants we spoke about pose hitherto unresolved challenges regarding taxation, social security, and labor rights. These difficulties start actually with the fact that these forms of international mobility are little documented and also difficult to measure in national statistics. In any case, regulations applying to traditional forms of international migration, including qualification requirements, visas, and sponsorship rules, seem to act as barriers that push firms towards finding legal alternatives like these forms of business migration or business mobility that we spoke about.
Yes, I also think that it's important to ensure that these strategies that are, as Sandra mentioned, triggered by firms, that they respect workers' rights. And in that sense, their proliferation, I think, raises equity concerns regarding working and salary conditions that definitely need to be addressed through more specific regulations.
Well, that's a thought-provoking point. The current rules can make it tough for companies to hire talent from different places. Well, as we're nearing the end of today's episode, I take now the opportunity to invite listeners to join a very special event for our team. On May 13, we will host a two-hour hybrid workshop to discuss our findings together with business representatives and colleagues. We will leave a link for registrations in show notes and hope to see you all there. Sandra, Mariana, what are the next steps for you in the GS4S project?
Yes, we will also present the findings on the survey at the 13th of May event. And apart from that, perhaps a reference to our other work in the GS4S project, which consists in compiling a large database coding all mobility provisions in EU trade agreements. This database ranges from 1960 until 2025 and also covers commitments at the member state level regarding business migration. And this will be then a useful resource for completing our knowledge of existing EU rules and national rules in the EU regarding business migrants.
Thank you very much, both Sandra and Mariana. I was honored to have you on this podcast. Thank you once again for joining me today and hope to see you on May the 13th.
Thank you very much for having us, Aisha.
Thank you. Bye-bye.